This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. And significantly more important than that, a good Friday. So let's make sure we're getting our butts to church this weekend and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Don't be a godless heathen. Now, let's dig into some things this hour. Hey, Jesse, last week my friend sent me a link to Facebook post indicating that Vivek Ramaswamy was endorsed by some sort of Somali Chamber of Commerce. Then you mentioned it Monday. I consider Facebook to be as reliable as a Cadillac North Star engine, so I was instantly skeptical. His website doesn't list the endorsement, so forth. He is, however, endorsed by J.D. Vance, Marsha Blackburn, so on and so forth, President Trump. Given that you have much better connections than I do, I would greatly appreciate you looking into this. This is my lifelong home, and I love Ohio as much as I love my country. If he's a dirty commie, give it to me right between the eyes. Feel free to say my name. His name is Greg. Okay, so, again, let's have a hard talk. Here's a dose of reality for you. Vivek Ramaswamy is the Republican nominee for governor in Ohio. He is not in a primary any longer. He is the Republican nominee. So you are going to have either Vivek as the Republican governor of Ohio, or you're going to have the communist, the Democrat. Okay? Yes, Vivek was endorsed by the Somali Chamber of Commerce. Yes, that's true. No, I do not think Vivek Ramaswamy is a communist, if that makes you feel better. No, I do not buy any of Vivek's act, and I never have in a million years. And I warned you about him a long time ago, back when he was pretending to run for president. He had all these stances he had taken a few years before that, you know, pro-mask, all this other crap. And then when he decided he wanted to make some noise in the Republican primary, he all of a sudden sounds like he's to the right of me. And a lot of people got caught up in that. And remember, he spent the time kissing Donald Trump's rear end and attacking Ron DeSantis. That was all in an angle. He was always angling to get Trump's endorsement for whatever office he chose to run for after he lost the run. He was never actually running for president. He was running to get Donald Trump's endorsement for whatever office he ran for afterwards. I never bought the act. He always seemed like a snake oil salesman to me. I don't think he actually believes really anything, but it's Vivek or the Democrat now in Ohio. I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. It's Vivek or the Democrat. Now that he's the Democrat, now that he's the Republican nominee, it is what it is. Sorry. That's life's full of bad choices. Beneath American city streets, this guy says, and suburban neighborhoods, a vast network of pipes and wastewater treatment system is reaching the end of its life, and it's in need of an estimated $630 billion to repair. So, this is part of my issue. One, you're correct. There are so many American construction projects that are in need. And this is part of my issue with America now, given our debt situation, unloading vast sums of money on foreign soil. Americans need jobs. American infrastructure needs to be revitalized. Our debt situation is rapidly reaching a point where we won't be able to cover the interest on the debt. More and more, as our debt situation gets worse, and as our credit card debt goes up, as people aren't making a living, more and more, I get less and less caring about anything going on anywhere else in the world. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is this. As I have encouraged my sons, if you are a young man, there is just a gigantic pile of money waiting for you in the trades in the future. The men in the trades, and women, I'm sorry, there are some female trade jobs, by the way, but the men in the trades are old. The average age is staggering. They're old and they're retiring. We can't find enough people to do these jobs. The supply and demand rule of economics tells you the wages are only going to go up, 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 and up the more and more people do this. Maybe instead of going off to that communist university system and working your butt off for a four-year degree only to not be able to find a job after college, maybe you go learn how to weld and start earning six figures in your 20s. No, I'm not saying it's for everybody. Maybe you'll hate the trades. Maybe you'll like one trade and hate another trade. I'm not saying it's for everybody. But I know so many guys in the trades who are making a killing. They're driving a new pickup truck. They just bought a house. They're getting married. They're making babies. They're making 100, 150 grand a year and up. From there, they're trying to build all these submarines now. We're on this mission to build a bunch of submarines. They can't find enough welders. They're at this point desperate. They can't find anyone who can weld. Maybe welding's your thing. Maybe welding interests you. Maybe it doesn't. But I'm telling you, there's opportunity out there. They're desperate to find these trade jobs. And there is huge, huge money in it. Oh, and no college debt. So many of these trades, their trade school costs virtually nothing, and the freaking trade will pay for it. The little it did cost you, the trade reimburses you. Hey, you come to work for us for 2 years, we'll pay for that trade school for you. There's opportunity there. And the corporate world isn't near as sexy as TV makes it look. You know, people think that the TV, that the things they see in the movies and TV, I want to wear a suit and tie and work in a corner office in Manhattan, and you know, I want that corporate life. Man, it's overrated. Corporate life would grind you down to the nubs. I know a lot of guys that work in corporate America. I don't know many of them who are happy. One of my neighbors is a lawyer. I know, what a dirtball. One of my neighbors is a lawyer. And he really smart guy. One of these guys, you talk to him and you're like, oh man, he's way smarter than me. Really smart guy. And he was working for a huge law firm. I'm not going to name it, obviously, because I don't want him to get in trouble. He was working for a huge law firm. And I don't know how much money he made, but I do know that they drove two brand new BMWs. He had one and his wife had one. And he had a backyard you could play a football game in with a swimming pool. He made a ton of money, a ton of money, and he hated his life, hated his life. A couple years ago, because he was always, whenever we'd hang out in the neighborhood, I mean, he didn't even hide it. One of those, hi, how are you things? Miserable. So, I mean, miserable. Hated his life. He left that big law firm and went to work at some local family law firm. I bet you, I didn't ask him, I bet you he makes a quarter of what he used to make. He's so happy. Every time I see him, he's like, oh, best move I ever made. I'm so happy. Best move I ever made. Don't think that corporate America is the path to happiness, all right? Jesse, I believe some time ago you mentioned your dad had a beef tenderloin recipe that was second to none. With Easter right around the corner, it might be a good time to share it, unless you're afraid it will upstage your burger and queso recipes. By the way, I'm glad we got the chance to meet your dad on the Holy Land trip. Happy Easter to you and your family. His name is Eric. Glad we got to meet you too, brother. Yeah, he did. So I'm going to mess this up, but it's going to be close enough that it'll be fine. It'll be close enough that it'll be fine. Get a tenderloin. It's expensive. So get a tenderloin, however much you can afford. Get yourself beef tenderloin. Get a baking dish in a big Ziploc bag, big one, like one of those gallon Ziploc bags, or wherever. I guess you can use whatever. I need you to get some olive oil in there, some soy sauce in there, some Worcester. That's a hard word to say. That's how you say it, right? Some Worcester sauce in there. A couple pinches of dried mustard, like mustard powder in there. Some parsley. Black pepper, the living daylights of it. Take a generous 2 or 3 scoops of minced garlic. Either mince it yourself or I usually just buy it in the jar, unless Ob volunteers to mince it for me. Drop all that in the big Ziploc bag. Give it a good old shake, all right? The tenderloin is sitting there in the baking dish. I usually do mine 48 to 72 hours before I eat it. Dump that whole thing over the baking dish. Cover it up in saran wrap. Pop it in the fridge. I would say 8 hours at least before you cook it. Take it out of the fridge. Really important to get it back to room temperature. Don't worry, it's going to be fine. Then, I know everyone's going to yell, too bad, so sad. It's amazing. You don't have to change anything. Don't take it out of there. Simply open up the oven and cook it to temperature. That's it. Open up the oven. I think we cook ours at 350. I don't remember, but it doesn't matter. Throw it in, 350. Cook it to temperature. I don't think it takes more than a couple hours, hour or two. Just keep checking it. You just don't want to overdo it. Keep checking it. Pull it out. You'll be in heaven. Absolute heaven. All right? Also, if you're hiring somebody, go use ZipRecruiter. Make your life easier. ZipRecruiter makes your life easier because they put the most interested candidates in front of you quickly. It's not just that they have matching technology. They have matching technology and they have a thing where the most active employees, they're the ones that get put in front of you. So you're looking at somebody, you're looking at this resume and you're thinking, wow, that's great. But he hasn't logged in 6 months. He's already got another job. He forgot to delete his account. And you're wasting your time sending him messages. No, not with ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody great the first day because they put the most interested people in front of you immediately. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Let them be your hiring manager, all right? All right, we got more. Next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I get the snickers terribly that Gavin Newsom's wife is out there doing the best she can to destroy his presidential hope.
I've given our boys dolls, even if they tear that off.
remember, there's a chance Republicans won't be popular in 2028. So if Democrats can just not freak out all the normies, just don't be that insane, they have a chance at taking back the White House. And then there's Gavin Newsom's wife.
I've given our boys dolls, even if they tear that off. I've given them dolls to learn that care and caregiving is not just an activity that's reserved for women, but that it's also an activity that is a responsibility of men. What I've done with both my daughters and my sons is if I'm reading a book and the protagonist is a male, I just change the he to a she. And it just normalizes for my sons in particular. I don't even just do it for my girls. I do it for my sons because I want them to see that women can be the center of a story, that women matter, that women are interesting. At the end of the day.
They're so exhausting, aren't they? Speaking of exhausting, I've been laughing all week that Ketanji Brown Jackson arguing against birthright citizenship was talking about stealing somebody's wallet.
You obviously have permanent allegiance based on being born in whatever country you're from. That's what everybody recognizes. But you also have local allegiance when you are on the soil of this other sovereign. And I was thinking, you know, I, a U.S. citizen, am visiting Japan. And what it means is that, you know, if I steal someone's wallet in Japan, the Japanese authorities can arrest me and prosecute me. It's allegiance, meaning can they control you as a matter of law? I can also rely on them if my wallet is stolen to, you know, under Japanese law, go and prosecute the person who has stolen it. So there's this relationship.
She's so stupid. Jesse, you're good, but Chris makes you great. I listen to other shows, and when they play clips, they fumble to find them, or it's seconds of silence before the incompetent producer plays it. Thanks to Chris for keeping the show great. Chris deserves no credit. Absolutely no credit whatsoever. That's one. Two, no, in all seriousness, we do two things on this show that may be a little bit different from other shows. Not saying it's the best, but it's just what we believe. Because, again, I'm trying to make your day a little bit better. We are trying to make your day a little bit better. Maybe we've got you for 15 minutes in traffic, on the way to school, on the way home from work. Just trying to make it a little bit better. So we're as big of morons as we are trying to do a great show for you. So we've done two things that are a little different. First of all, the sound, I control it. Chris and Corey got me this sound board, which, of course, you've heard a thousand times.
People be texting.
Well, the sound board has these ones that we have on here permanently.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Those are permanent ones. But then there's all these other buttons on here that have new clips that come from every day that Chris and Corey change out every day. They find some, I find some. They have me a list. If you're watching, it's right here. They have a list. And so, you know, number one is this, number two is that. So I have control of it. What is the point of that? That's so there's no lag when I want to play audio or when I'm trying to tell a story or something like that. Otherwise, if I have to ask Chris for it, there's a lag. So one thing we do that is unique is I have control of that. The second thing we do is that these two morons, when they're not screwing off, they actually pay attention when I'm talking. And if I'm going somewhere with something, they will think of clips that go along with it. And they'll start digging while I'm talking. And so that's you hear me do that all the time. Yes, that's right, Chris. And sometimes I don't even say anything. Sometimes he'll say, I have this on the screen. And I'll say, oh, that's good. Oftentimes I'll ignore it because his ideas are stupid. But they dig up audio during it that I won't think of. And so that's not always normal. Sometimes most people don't want to control the sound. I do want to control the sound. And most producers don't care enough to actually pay attention. So they don't actually care about the job. They don't care about doing the show. That's why they've worked for 10 different radio shows in 10 years, just kind of meandering through the radio world, not caring enough. And that's why they're never going to go anywhere, and they're never going to get pay increases and never going to get promoted. And then they'll whine about it as they're sitting there on unemployment one day. That's how it always works. What, Chris? It's true. You know it's true. How many people do you know that that's the case? It's true. You don't pay attention. You don't get involved. You eventually get canned because you're totally replaceable. And then you're whining to your mom that you're moving back home and living in her basement. That's how it always works. That's going to be Corey one day. What? No, Chris, you know what? We got to stop picking on Corey. The Red Sox are having a tough year. Corey is a Red Sox fan. Chris and I are Astros fans. We just swept them, and I don't want to mention it anymore because Corey isn't taking it well. Corey's upset with the management of the team. I don't think they've won a game yet. And you know what, Corey? We're not going to talk about it anymore. That way, your feelings won't be hurt. No more, Chris. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, the best. The subject of this one is Japan is the best. I'm an international pilot. I just left Japan for the sixth time or so. I love going to Japan. It's the safest, most polite country I've ever been to. All the airport and hotel employees bow to us at the end of our interactions. When I first went there a couple years ago, I remember when I was leaving, I thought, do these people know that my country nuked their country twice in like 80 years or like 80 years ago? They're amazingly pleasant people to be around. I hope we stay friends. Well, this comes actually back to something we were discussing in the first hour when we were talking about foreigners and things like that. There are other cultures, no matter what your history is. I mean, the history of your two cultures. There are other cultures where there are so many similarities in your culture. There's just a natural kinship there. And Japan and the United States of America are natural allies, natural friends. But the Japanese people value so many of the things that good Americans value, not the communists, but good Americans value. There was always going to be, if everything worked out, a friendship there in waiting. And I love that we have it now. I absolutely love that we have it now. I love Japan. I cannot wait to go back to Japan. I've only been once. It was in the Marine Corps, right? And I didn't have to pay for it. So I've only been once. Plus, I hear they have these huge souffle pancakes that look fantastic. They love... What did you just make that face for, Chris? Why do you have to crap on everything? What's wrong with souffle? What? Souffles are overrated. Okay, that's fair. But did I say souffle, Chris? Souffle pancakes are not souffles. There's obviously some sort of a difference there. A Dutch baby? No, isn't that when you fart and you hold your wife's head under the covers? What? Is that... Oh, that's a Dutch oven. Oh. Well, I didn't know. I'm just going off my limited knowledge here. Anyway, plus they love beef over there in Japan. I'm a big beef eater. It's amazing. Jesse, two very important questions. What's the latest status on the wall? If things go badly at the ballot box, it's the only hope keeping the border secure. And two, when ordering bar ice cream, did you at least get something like manly, like Rocky Road? Or did you go fully Lindsey Graham and get rainbow sherbet? First, I hate to burst your bubble, but wall or no wall, if we allow the communists back in power in this country, it doesn't matter if the wall reaches outer space. They are going to bring in more foreigners than you have ever seen in your lifetime next time. They'll knock down the wall. They'll fly them in over the wall. There is nothing stopping them. They are going to, wrap your mind around this. You want to be motivated to stay involved? They are probably going to disband ICE. You realize that? They probably will. I'll play you this from Fox News. Listen to this. This is a story about Abigail Spanberger, the new governor of Virginia.
Abigail Spanberger.
Ugh, the worst.
She's the governor of Virginia. And in just this week, there have been two additional illegal immigrant murders. There was one man who was murdered in Falls Church, Virginia, with a machete. The other was murdered a three-month-old baby with blunt force trauma. And neither should have been in the country. And yet one of her very first actions when she got inaugurated was to say, I am withdrawing this Governor Youngkin policy to cooperate with ICE. We will never do that.
She's awful.
Democrats are going to try to prosecute ICE agents when they take back power. Donald Trump is likely going to have to pardon every member of ICE preemptively on his way out of office because Democrats are so sick and evil, they're going to try to prosecute them. We can never allow these people to take power again. And I know our normie friends are a little sour on Republicans right now, to put it mildly.
This is the lowest of his term, the lowest of his second term. We're talking about minus 17 points, 17 points underwater. And unlike in Donald Trump's first term, in which he was negative basically throughout his entire term, Trump actually started off in positive territory here in his second term.
Okay. Our normie friends are upset. I got it. We might be fighting a battle that can't totally be won in November because, as we've talked about, independents decide elections. But we can try to mitigate those losses and try to make sure these people can't take power again. Remember this montage I played you by Western Lensman? Even if you think these people, you know, the J.B. Pritzkers and these types, even if you think they're lying, that they don't want to actually arrest their political opponents, remember, the Democrat base will demand it. Even if they don't want to, they understand the base will have essentially a knife at their throat demanding these things.
The people in this administration who've broken the law and federal agents who've broken the law need to be held accountable. Criminally prosecuted, civilly prosecuted, you know, whatever it is that we can do.
For those that decided that it was, you know, that they would act in their perceived very narrow self-interest and, you know, take a knee to Trump, they're going to be held accountable.
Do you think needs to elevate the debate, but also ensure accountability, legal accountability for anyone who broke the law?
Yeah, it's not about vengeance in that respect. It's not that. It's simply about accountability.
There are so many different corrupt sycophants within the Trump administration, including but not limited to within the Department of Justice. Now, these people don't have immunity. And the reality is the statute of limitations is 5 years, and there will be accountability with the next administration, if not before, when Democrats take back control of the House of Representatives.
One day the Trump presidency will end. The statute of limitations for these crimes, however, will extend beyond that date. And when the day comes that Donald Trump leaves the White House and his successor moves in, there'll be accountability.
We will bring oversight, accountability. We will subpoena the Department of Justice, but also private actors who have done these drug deals with the administration, college campuses, entertainment companies, law firms. And so accountability is coming.
They're going to arrest everybody. They're going to sue everybody, everything.
So to be clear, the next president, whether it's President Newsom or someone else, you think needs to elevate the debate, but also ensure accountability, legal accountability for anyone who broke the law.
Yeah, it's behest. Yeah, I think you have to knit that back, and you have to do both, because you by definition are doing both. It's not weaponizing grievance. It's not pursuing retribution in the spirit that defines Trump and Trumpism. It's not about vengeance in that respect. It's not that. It's simply about accountability, that the chips fall where they may.
The Democrats are going to investigate you to no end. Then they're going to start going after you. Then they're going to start figuring out where all the money stolen is. Then they're going to go after you stupid jacket kids and their spouses and all the other bull that you see. And they're going to investigate the shit out of you.
It's not like they're hiding it. They're screaming it from the rooftops. I know you're upset with Republicans. They can't pass the SAVE Act. It won't do this. It won't do that. Maybe the war in Iran has you angry. I understand all that. All completely valid. It can always get worse, and I promise you it will if Democrats are allowed to take power again. Now, let me tell you about patronizing a company that hires American workers. I read that article earlier. Yet again. Thousands of Americans fired, thousands of foreigners hired. Over and over and over again, it's the same story. Companies firing Americans and bringing in foreigners, and then there's pure talk. While the Verizons, AT&Ts, and T-Mobiles can't wait to send those jobs overseas, pure talk still hires Americans who speak English. I don't even have to guess. That's what they do. When you get a hold of Pure Talk to switch your cell phone service, you'll get to speak to a pleasant American. 10 minutes on the phone and you could be switched over. You keep your phone, you keep your number. You're going to save a fortune. You're going to be on the same towers. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show as we go into a Resurrection Day weekend, an Easter weekend. Get your butt to church. and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior this weekend, okay? Also, our delivery driver, he needs to go to church badly. So we got a situation here at the studio, and I'm not 100% sure on what I should do about it. So we ordered some food. In case you're wondering, we got Little Caesars coming, right? We ordered some Little Caesars. Driver sends me a message on the app. This is as we speak. He says, I'm waiting for your order. I texted him back a little thumbs up during the commercial break. Then he sends this. I do not understand why we always have to wait too long here in this pizzeria. So, in the interest of not having our pizza spit in, I texted, I'm sorry. But then he gave me this. I've wasted 20 minutes. Now, we're having an internal argument here. Do we need to be concerned about the potential tampering of our food? Chris said, check it. We can check it, but it's not our fault. Do I have to do something here? It's this, Chris would be the one to ask. You think he's just asking for money? Maybe he's, but I already gave him a good tip. I mean, I could toss him another couple bucks or something. Chris, quit being such a cheapskate. But I know I already gave him a good tip. I don't want my pizza spit in, man. It's worth a couple bucks. And he has been, but you know what, Chris? I'm doing it right now. I'm giving a little extra tip just for the fact that he's wasted so much time there. This is completely unprofessional. Let's laugh at Gavin Newsom's wife while we do this.
I've given our boys dolls, even if they tear the head off. I've given them dolls to learn that care and caregiving is not just an activity that's reserved for women, but that it's also an activity that is a responsibility of men. What I've done with both my daughters and my son.
Sorry, we can stop now. I already sent the tip. We're good to go. Hey, Jesse, I live behind enemy lines in Northern Virginia, and over the last 20 years, I've seen my home slowly taken over by commies. The fact that Youngkin and Sears won their election tells me there's still some hope. Am I delusional? What signs would you look for that say the state is lost? Look, I said he loves the show. I'm always tempted to say Virginia is lost, but then I'm hesitant because I know that rural Virginia is so red and so beautiful. People do not understand the beauty of Virginia. It's a gorgeous state. I don't ever want to tell you all hope is lost. And you did just have Glenn Youngkin. Now, there was a bit of an outlier there, and that was that the previous governor managed to say on camera that parents shouldn't have a say in their kids' education. He basically ran himself out of the race, which allowed Youngkin to come in. Youngkin stepped in. Youngkin made some things better. Then you lost again. I'm not in Virginia. And I was not involved in the Virginia gubernatorial race. But I heard from multiple people that Winsome Sears didn't run a good race. I cannot confirm that. I like Winsome Sears. I think she's cool. But I heard she did not raise good money, that she did not campaign well. And every race tells its own tale. I always tell you that. You know, even in the midterms, which are coming up, every race has its own story. Yes, we can look at trends. We can take a step back and, well, we lost 30 seats. But each and every race is going to have its own candidate. And there are, you can run into a buzzsaw where you have a Democrat candidate who doesn't hide the fact that they're the spawn of Satan. And at the same time, you have a Republican candidate who maybe can't raise money or is unorganized or gets caught up in some kind of a scandal. Or look, sometimes the winds just blow against you. And sometimes the winds are blowing with you. I don't want to tell you Virginia's lost because I don't want to believe it. Jesse, whatever happened to Mayorkas? He was one of the biggest perps in the last administration. Was he? It's not that I need any more help to hate Mayorkas any more than I already do. And look, we all want to see Mayorkas put in prison because he took over the Department, the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, and then opened up the border to the country, let a bunch of terrorists and scumbags in. So yes, he should go to prison, but let's always keep this in mind. He was ordered to do it. Mayorkas didn't do anything that the Biden administration didn't order him to do. And the ugly truth is that if you allow Democrats in power now, they're going to do these things. And there's no stopping it. You can yell and scream, but if these people take power, this is what they're going to do. They are going to let criminals out of prison. They are going to bring as many foreigners into the country as possible. They are going to try to move the communist revolution forward, and nothing can stop them. The only thing you can do is keep them out of power. It's the only thing we can do. We have to keep them out of power until the Democrat Party stops its anti-American ways, stops trying to burn the country down. Then we have no other choice. All right? All right. Jesse, I know he was put between a rock and a hard place, but don't you think Governor Abbott is at least partially responsible for filling cities with illegals across the country? You know, I've been very critical of Greg Abbott, and I always will be, but it was actually one of the more brilliant thing political campaign stunts I've ever seen. Throw the foreigners on a bus and send them up to the blue areas, and you people deal with them. It was pretty good. Now, he sucks at a bunch of other things, but that is what it is. Now, put your phone down, go enjoy your weekend, go celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, as you should. The greatest day in history. We're about to celebrate it. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.